Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Robert Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom NLI Radio. I'm also with Cowboy Wisdom Innovation Coaching. Tonight we're going to talk about poetry, sculpting, and open up your artist prowess with Uwe Podanski. And Uwe is a very bright, intelligent sculptor, poet, and she's also an author of A Park from Love. And we're going to discuss something very unique about A Park from Love for this weekend. I want to welcome Uwe to the show. Welcome, Uwe.
Good evening. It's wonderful to be here, and I want to thank you for inviting me a second time to your show.
Well, this is my honor and privilege, because I have a deep down feeling in myself that the artists, the sculpting and the artistry of this country is what is going to help open the country up to new prosperity, because the old way we've done things through the corporate way is kind of being fissured, and it's going to take people's innovation. And sculpting, poetry, and writing is probably the three best ways to open people's lives. But we was talking before the show about Apart from Love. You got a very special thing going to happen on Amazon.com on the Kindle side with Apart from Love. So tell people about that.
Yes. Well, my novel Apart from Love, starting at midnight tonight, I'm offering a gift to my readers. I'm offering the Kindle edition of Apart from Love for free for 3 days in honor of the Labor Day weekend. So it's the last opportunity to relax and have a summer reading. So I would like to invite you, every one of you who are listening now, to take a look at the great reviews on my book page on Amazon, all 32 of them, and to take a look inside. You can read up to, I think, 2 chapters of the book online. And I know that you, Rob, you like poetry, so I wrote a little poem to tell you about this gift. And here goes. Let me give you the dearest gift that I can. Do not refuse me, for my story began with passion at heart, guilt down at the gut, and sentences that I weave, then turn and cut. Now I give them to you. It's my very last plea. Hold my book in your hand. It is yours. It is free.
Now, there's a gift to the universe. And if you go to Uwe's art gallery, UVI art gallery on the internet, you're going to see some outstanding painting and sculpting and all kinds of artistry. But I want to go to, you're also writing a new book about your father and everything. Give people a little insight to that, would you?
Right. So the name of this book is going to come out in a month from now. The name is going to be Home. It's one word. It's a simple word and quite a loaded one. And you can say it in a whisper. You can say it in a cry. And you can hear from this word a visceral longing for an ideal place, a place that can never be found again. And what this book is going to include is going to include, half of it is going to be my father's work. Now, my father was a poet all his life. He always wrote in Hebrew, in English, in Russian, in Yiddish. He knew 10 languages, and he wrote in all of them. But the work that he did, the poems that he wrote in the last 2 decades of his life, those he has never shared before, not even with me, even though in our phone conversations, that was always my question. I said, Dad, what are you working on right now? Are you painting? Are you writing something new? And he didn't share them because they were intensely, intensely painful to him. And so I only discovered them when I went back to Israel and during the Shiva, the mourning period for his passing. And you can imagine the shock and the sadness when I discovered his work. the poetry that he's never shared with anyone. And it took me 6 years after that moment of discovery, which happened in my childhood home while mourning his passing, to select the poems that I wanted to include in the book and to present a tribute to my father. It's a collection of poems and prose. About half of it is my father's work, which I have translated into English, which is a difficult task all by itself, just to pour content from one vessel, from one language to another, without losing the spirit of the words. And half of it is going to be my work, my poems, short stories, and so on. And it's all around this idea of home. So that's going to come out in about a month from now.
All right. And also, the call-in number to talk to and ask Uwe questions is 718-305-6548. Now, I'm going to go to http://uweart.blogspot.com 2012/08home.html. And we're going to talk about what's on that page. And anyway, you just go to uweart.blogspot. They'll find this, won't they, Uwe?
Just tell me the title of it, because I'll remember what it is, and I'll be able to talk to you about it.
All righty. Anyway, but we're on the home. It says Uwe Pazansky. It says home, and it's got a picture of a part of love, but it, and I'm going to really miss that, but it says Zeev Kachel. Is that your dad's name? Z-E-E-V-K-A-C-H-E-L?
I really don't remember, because I don't have it in front of me, but,
I
can tell you a little bit about... what you're looking at is probably the painting that is going to be used for the cover of Home, and I can tell you a little bit about that, about what I painted and what I saw in my mind when I painted it. So when my father passed away, I went back to my home, to my childhood home, for the traditional Shiva, which is the 7-day period of mourning. And perhaps the grief did something to change the way that I viewed things, because I saw the place, the home, the space where I lived. Perhaps I was sitting in a place that I never sat before, and I discovered it from a new angle. I was observing how the light penetrated the far recesses of this space, how it came to the corners, and how it washed the walls and called across the floor, and how the furniture signified relationship in the family. My father's armchair is opposed to the sofa and the other chairs around. And just sitting there, I drew what I saw on a little napkin, and then I, being in grief, I wiped my tears with it, and later I discarded it. And then, coming back to the States, I recreated that sketch from memory. So in the drawing, I used a fisheye perspective. Now, what does that mean? In a regular perspective, the vertical lines are parallel. They are straight up and down. But in a fisheye perspective, when you look up, the vertical lines converge to heaven, see, to a point outside of the drawing panel. And when you look down, the vertical lines converge to hell, to a point underneath it all. So all of the lines are curving around you, which makes the whole drawing kind of embrace you, hug you, as if you are in the middle of a fishbowl and you're seeing the whole world curl around you. And so that's the way that I saw the space. And what did I see from this fishbowl? I saw an earthquake, really, in the aftermath of my father's death. I saw the books falling off of the shelves. I saw the lamp that was hanging there in a corner swinging back and forth like a pendulum. And the little side table I overturned in my mind because my father will never lay his pen upon it. And instead of the Persian rugs that used to decorate this place, I floated blank pages on the floor, the pages that my father will never again use for writing. And so this new sketch was used by me to create an oil painting, which is what you're looking at. And the oil painting then became the inspiration for the cover of my new book, Home.
And when will this come out, do you feel?
It'll come out the end of September. So in exactly a month from now. I'm going to announce it on my blog, which is uviart.blogspot.com, and on my Facebook page and everywhere.
But anyway, that's a unique picture, the colors of it. And if you look at it after your description, the chair and the stuff and the things going to heaven. But in real life, that is a lot like real life. When you say everybody's life, this is unique to your father, but another way, it's also a way for everybody to expand is through your paintings. Do you feel that?
You know, the way that I see the world, I think that everybody sees the world in a surreal way, not what is there, but through a certain prism, a certain lens that allows us all to mitigate the emotions that come out while we're looking at reality. And so the first three poems in this book are going to describe this cover in emotional terms. The first one says this. It says, and this is my poem, not my father's, it's mine, just sitting there and watching this space. This is what I wrote. Sucked in by force, I'm flying through a tunnel, the tunnel of memory that leads me back home. The past blurs my present, so my vision is double. The walls and the ceiling curve into a dome. From here I can see that home tilting and falling from place. All the limbs are aflame. My father's empty chair is slowly ascending, tipped by the light, outlining its frame. So it's really, it takes a leave from reality, but it reflects the way that I felt about the place, both in through my art and through my writing as well.
Now, I'm on another page of yours on your blog spot. There's where you got your name up there, Uvi. There's the picture, it's yellow and it's blue, and it's got stairs, and that's a unique picture. Tell us about that.
What is the title of it?
It's just got your name on it, Uvi Pazinski. It's on like your home, it's above everything where it's got your name. It's got like stairways and things like that, if you can withdraw it in your memory.
Oh, are you talking about the banner at the top of the blog?
Yeah, I mean, it's one
okay.
With your name on it.
yeah, I know what you're talking about. So the top of my blog, which is uviart.blogspot.com, is based on an oil painting. It's a very large oil painting in bright yellows and oranges and some blues. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. It's got stairs going up, stairs going down, and hallways. And
yeah.
It just looks like, to me, it has many paths, just like life. It really simulates life. You have lots of choices to go here.
That's very true. You're reading it very truthfully, because what it is actually three different views of the same building. It's actually a real building. I first created three sketches, or even more than that, of that building. And then, just by accident, I could see that you can combine these sketches into one big composition, and the composition had almost an eye in the middle, where the it's really hard to explain things that are visual through radio, but but what it is, it's three sketches that were, each one of them was drawn using this fish eye perspective, where the lines hug you and they curl around you. They kind of embrace you. You're in the middle of them. So I did some things to change how the space looked. For example, I kind of curved out some of the floor to show the cables and the little channels that go under the floor, which reflect the ones up in the ceiling. Some people really get scared by this picture because it's kind of the at the edge of the abyss. You can almost fall off where the staircase goes down. It's a little too close for comfort, but it's a fun painting that I did, and it's done in oil. It's quite a big one. And the other thing to know about it is that it's very empty in the sense that there are no figures in it. It's just the architecture. And so later on, I took this painting as an inspiration for another painting where I turned the light off, and out of the darkness, I showed characters, figures coming out of the darkness. But when you look closely in the dark, you can see that the same architecture is the basis for the other picture as well.
I see that. And, you know, the thing is, you can put yourself, you know, where the opening is, you can put yourself right there and choose many paths in life, just like you really do.
That's true. I mean,
it's just interesting. You play, I think, can really open your mind to a lot of creativity.
You're right. You can go down one corridor, or you can go down another corridor, or you can fall through the floor, or you can roll down the stairs. There are many paths that you can take in this painting.
Yes, there is. And now I want to read from Goodreads Reviews, Apart from Love. This is by Dolores from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Yeah.
Uwe Pazansky is an artist. This is no doubt about it. As I read Apart from Love, I was drawn into a masterfully created piece of artwork. This is no ordinary novel. It richly despicates the product of dysfunctional family and how they are drawn together yet so repulsed by each other. Hmm. And there's a lot more, but there's one. There's a whole bunch of them. If you go to her uviart.blogspot.com, you can read all things about Apart from Love, which is free for 3 days on Kindle. So you guys get the chance to read what these people, but you also get a chance to buy it if you miss the free. And there's nothing free because you're going to get a free, you're going to take a vacation.
And let me just say a word of caution that the book is not for all. Two of my reviewers, at the end of the review, which was a glowing review in each case, one of them wrote that she recommends the book for introspective readers who love complex characters. She recommends the book to Sam Shepard's fans, to poets, to artists, to film noir buffs. And another reviewer said that she recommends this book to anyone who would like to read something a little bit different from the normal run of fiction. And the reason that both of them put this word of caution is because it's very hard to classify this book, Apart from Love, in terms of what genre it is. Because, you know, it's like life. What genre is our lives? You know, some of it is romance, some of it is tragedy, some of it is family drama. They're all aspects of our lives. And when you write a book about characters that become real in your mind, then you don't want the story to fall into a certain category. And also you don't want the reader to kind of guess at the end. Like, let's say if somebody writes romance books, you know that by the end all the obstacles will be removed and the girl and the boy will live happily ever after. But in life, it's not always like that. So when I write a book, and when I read a book, I like to be surprised by the ending. And this is very true of Apart from Love.
And I'm on your blogspot, uvart.blogspot.com, Lost in Translation, Poem by My Father. And it's called Repartation. It's written by your father, and I just want to read the first little bit for you.
Sure.
This is written by your father and translated from Hebrew by Uvi. You're asking me to put here in writing once more all that I lost, my esteemed counselor. To list in detail, then describe and refine and bring two witnesses tomorrow to sign. My father's gold watch, I could just hear the sound, had three lids that were shining, reflected in it. I could see us standing around, all faces aglow and rejoicing.
I can read it if you like, Rob.
Go ahead.
Let me just say before you go on that this poem is called Reparations. And for those who don't know what reparations mean, the survivors of the Holocaust were eligible to receive money, reparations, for the property that they have lost during the Holocaust. And so there was a certain process to go through. They have to list all that they have lost, all that was taken from them by Nazi Germany, and so as to get the reparations. And so my father wrote this. He starts this poem by talking about things that are physical, like my father's gold watch. And he says, I could just hear the sound. It had three lids that were shining. Reflected in it, I could see us standing around, all faces aglow and rejoicing. The watch also had a heavy gold chain coiled twice over his vein. The tips of his hands gave a hint of a spark, shooting red green glow right into the dark. It ticked, counting years for each girl and boy, marking seasons, holidays, morning and night. I remember Sabbath candles flickering with joy, sparkling brightly like starlight. And so as the poem goes on, it's quite a long poem, he goes back to his counselor's, his attorney's question, please write down what you've lost. And the poem takes a turn from the physical loss of property to what he has lost in terms of family members, in terms of the other victims of the Holocaust. So at the end of the poem, he says this: You are asking me to record on paper to pour all that I lost, my esteemed counselor. I demand to return, reopen that door, find parents and sister, each girl and boy, back there in that synagogue, with that spirit of yore, Sabbath candles aflame, Father's joy, Father's voice filled with joy. It's not property I ask for, not mere pieces of land. Hebrew school, friends around, all of us in one band, with hope that inspired to survive, to withstand. Bring the murderers to trial, that is what I demand. You will not understand. It's of no great import. I demand that which has been cut short.
Is that going to be in the book Home?
Yes, it is. Yes,
absolutely. But you know, that poem, for some reason, really hit me in the heart, because he's not talking about the physical and everything they went through. Because
exactly.
There's no monetary going to give back what the Holocaust did.
Absolutely. That's right on the point. So he kind of drifts away from what he's asked to do to talk about what he lost in terms of the physical. And he, the beginning of the poem, when he starts to talk about the gold watch, makes you think that maybe he's going to follow instructions, because he's talking about a watch, a physical object. But then the watch, just thinking about it, thinking about the reflections that you saw on the glass lid, the reflections of the family that was lost. And then where the poem talks about the synagogue that his grandfather had built with the Torah scrolls that during the pogroms and the Holocaust was they were burned and got lost. There's no reparations for really for the loss. You know, you can't pay back for that. You can bring the murderer to trial, but even that doesn't really doesn't bring back the life that was lost.
You know, you just said something there that kind of really makes me wonder. You know, all the people on death row, and they're there because of what they did, you know, they have no qualms about what they did when they did it. But once they find out it cost them their lives, they spend 13 years trying to save it. That's just kind of ironic to me.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just blows me away. They didn't care until it came to them. And that is the selfishness of the whole world. Wouldn't you say, Uli?
Well, you know, I think that some of the people who are criminals may have suffered in childhood, and which makes it difficult for them to relate to the suffering of others. And I think that maybe if sometime during the growing up, if somebody would have lended a hand, if somebody would have shown them that they are important, that they can grow up and become, you know, somebody important, that may have changed the course of things.
And they mattered, and, you know, and they respected. I'm on your, this was one I kind of saved for the last. We're down to just a few minutes here. Yes. It's the one about your dad, writer, poet, and artist. And it's called The Easiest Demise.
And I The Easiest Demise, yeah, I remember that one.
And I'm just skimming through it. That's quite a poem when you read it.
Yeah, the thing with The Easiest Demise, actually a lot of his poems were written, he lived to be 94 years old. And for the last 2 decades of his life, he lived alone because my mother has left him. And all that remained was just looking at the wall and thinking about death approaching. And so some of his poems are really looking at death with fear. Some of them are looking at death with humor. And The Easiest Demise is really, it's a kind of dark humor. Dark humor that, you know, to mitigate this fear. And he says this about waiting for death. He says, "O wind, where will you carry me? Towards what fate, what shore, what bay? Will I be dropped to an open sea or else become an eagle's prey? For what is death? I can't tell. How beastly really might it be? They say that death will never fail in a young old person such as me. And so who knows? I have no answer. No need to trust all those deceits. Lift me slowly, O wind, O mother, or I shall take cover under sheets. And so he just goes on and on, imagining all kinds of manners for which he can die. And at the end he says, well, it's not fair if I live beyond the age of my family. He actually lived to be a very old age. And so finally he says, here is how I wish to be interred. No eulogy at the graveside plot. He says, I want a nice grave, a modest one. And this is how modest he wants his grave to be. Across a stunning slab of granite, my name inscribed in golden letters, as is my poem and my portrait, a funeral procession during stormy hours, the largest crowd with scores of cars, pretty women sob in abundant grief, wiping their nose with a handkerchief. Obituaries in the paper, some large, some small, both bold and dainty. And that is all, and with no torture. For now, just bring me a cup of tea. So he had this grand idea of how his funeral is going to look, and then after putting it down on paper, he says, just bring me now a cup of tea.
And that's where we're going to end the show. And you can look at Uvi's art at uviart.com. And go to amazon.com this weekend and get Apart from Love for free for 3 days. It's Uvi honoring Labor Day. And I honor Uvi for being here and all the guests. And I want to thank you.
Thank you so much, Rob. Have a good evening.
And you too. And also, we're going to have Uvi back when Home comes out so we can give her a half-hour show to talk about her dad and her and Uvi's poetry. How's
wonderful.
That?
Thank you so much, Rob. Really a pleasure to be with you.
It's always a pleasure and honor. And it's a pleasure to have all the guests here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And
good night.
And good night. And we'll see everybody next week. Everybody have a happy Labor Day weekend.